Good afternoon. I'm here to talk about the Positive Life Workshop, which is a self-management workshop we developed in New York City. So I'm going to talk about the development and implementation of that workshop and some initial evaluation results. My colleague Amanda Raker also participated in developing this presentation, so I want to recognize her. She wasn't able to be here today, but neither of us have anything to disclose. So I'm going to talk a little bit about HIV in New York City, the development process, mission goals, the structure and essential elements of the workshop, initial evaluation results, and our next steps. So I think many of us have seen this slide from the CDC. This is it, the same treatment cascade adapted for New York City. And I'm showing this slide partly to represent the epidemic in New York City and partly to represent the work that we are doing with this workshop. So we have an estimated 128,000 people with HIV in New York City. We know that 110,000 of those people are diagnosed. About 95,000 are linked to care. And then we know that 64,000 are retained in care, and 52,000 are actually suppressed viral load. So when you look at this slide, it really represents the work that needs to be done in terms of HIV, initially diagnosing people who are unaware of their status, all the way to helping people adhere and maintain their medication regimen so that they have a suppressed viral load. So in looking at this slide, the Ryan White Planning Council decided to allocate some resources to develop a workshop to help people with HIV to engage in care and retain in care, as well as reduce risk behaviors. So we contracted with Shanti Life Institute to begin the development of the workshop. In that process, they conducted an extensive literature review. And I'm just going to not go through the whole literature review. You'll thank me for that. But just highlight the key issues that end up being sort of cornerstones of the workshop. Health promotion to enable people to empower themselves to take control of their health. Really looking at HIV as a chronic illness. So we have a culture of some people in the culture of HIV aren't yet thinking about HIV as a chronic illness, yet we know people are living longer lives and they're changing how they live their lives. Self-management. We all know that a doctor's appointment is 15 minutes every 3 months, but people with HIV live with the illness 24 hours a day. And so really helping the people with HIV to think about how they can address their own health outcomes, because they have the most control over their health. And then looking at biopsychosocial factors, really looking at physical, social, and psychological health, and how do those address the important health outcomes for people with HIV. We also conducted focus groups and provider interviews. We had about 80 people with HIV that we engaged in focus groups, and 6 agencies conducted interviews with them. And what we found out of those is that social support is one of the most key pieces of people with HIV in terms of their health outcomes, that it's important to address stigma and trusted support and foster HIV-positive connections. And that it's really important to think about beliefs and life goals. Does the person have a fatalistic view of their HIV diagnosis, or do they have a future vision? Because that future vision really helps them establish long-term goals and maintain their medication regimens. Disclosure, to family members, partners, employers, mental health, addressing depression, grief, isolation, stress, substance use and its role in HIV infection, as well as its relationship to homelessness, to mental health disorders. And then risk, and really helping people with HIV with condom negotiation and having a deeper understanding of their sexuality. And then one of the key pieces is also peer leadership, that by having peers lead the workshops, you're better to retain the people in the workshops, you're increasing their sense of safety and developing trusted support. Also in developing the workshop, we had our eyes on the National HIV/AIDS strategy priorities, really to reduce new infections and work with people with HIV to address prevention. So we stress avoidance of health risk behaviors, adherence, as well as disclosure. And then the peer model engages people with prevention messages. And then also increasing access to care through addressing provider-patient relationships, treatment adherence, self-management, like I said earlier. And then we also have developed a health journal for health action planning. I always think this looks like those. Did you, I don't know if people are old enough to remember those generic, like, cans of peas in the aisle, but it sort of looked like canned peas. It says health journal. You know exactly what it is. But we'll be working on a better cover in the future. But I just think that's sort of funny. So also looking at increasing access to care through, I just talked about that, as well as reducing health-related disparities. We don't have a Spanish version, but we're working on developing a Spanish version in this current year, in the second year of the program, and then also engaging peers once again to make those one-to-one connections. So, like I said earlier, one of our key guiding principles is utilizing HIV-positive peers. And we utilize them by, actually, they do the presentations on health education modules. They facilitate small group discussions, which really helps people to connect and disclose and share their story. They encourage goal setting. They also model health action planning through the use of the health journal. They also are actually just beginning in the last several months to conduct intakes. So they're actually helping to recruit and make that initial relationship with people. And then they also represent the program during community outreach. It's also important in helping facilitate behavior change to have a client-centered approach, that it's not top-down. We aren't telling people what to do to adhere. So we really use this health journal and goal setting and social support, empowering messages to really help people identify where they want to go to promote their health. And that really ensures a more likelihood of success. So the target population for the workshop is people 18 and over and people who would most benefit from the intervention, people struggling with engagement in care and treatment adherence, people who are newly diagnosed, people out of care, people motivated to engage in self-management. Originally, we really thought that we would be mostly finding newly diagnosed people, but as you see in a later slide, it's really difficult to engage newly diagnosed. They have a lot of other priorities going on. Going into a self-management workshop really isn't in their top priority. So the mission and goals of the workshop is to engage people with HIV to increase self-management. And we do this through addressing life issues, cofactors, biological, psychological, social, which therefore increase engagement in healthcare, improve treatment adherence, and reduce risk behavior, which therefore improve overall health. So these are the cofactor topics, the scope of the workshop. All of these are touched on in both our four-hour and two-day workshops, addressing body care, which includes things like oral health and hand washing, drug and alcohol use, sexual health, adherence, engaging in care. Like I said before, beliefs about HIV, addressing stress, grief and depression. And then built into the workshop, we have trusted support in the focus in the support groups that are facilitated by the peers, as well as just helping people with HIV to disclose and be comfortable in an environment that's safe to disclose. And then also being self-assertive and really thinking about that provider-patient relationship. So the workshop is a two-part series. It's a four-hour, and there's an intensive two-day. That's all I'll say about that. So far we've had 467 intakes to the program, and about 46% of those who conduct an intake come to the four-hour introduction. And then we have the two-day intensive, and 43% of those who go to the introduction come to the two-day. So it really takes a lot of outreach to get these people in, and so I'll talk a little bit more about that, a very little bit, because I have 5 minutes left. So these are the participant demographics. I think the most important piece here is that only 9% are newly diagnosed. I could go on more, but I won't in the interest of time. So we have some initial evaluation results. The design of our evaluation includes a pre-test, a post-test, and 3-month follow-up. We do a pre- and post-test in the introduction, in the intensive. And it's a self-report survey administered from March 1st. We've done paired t-tests to compare the mean differences. So we, in our survey tool, we have knowledge of HIV-related behaviors. There's a 4-item for the intro. There's a 5-item for the intensive. It assesses knowledge of treatment, adherence, substance use, and risky sexual behaviors. Attitudes towards HIV, there's an 11-item for the intro, 12-item for the intensive that measures attitudes towards mental health, HIV disclosure, substance use, health action planning, and that's on a 4-point Likert scale. And then we also have self-reported behaviors. It's just a 7-item measure that addresses disclosure, needle sharing, condom use, adherence, and sexual behavior. Condom use, substance use, and sexual behavior. So when you look at the intro in terms of attitudes, because our N is so low, we tried to pull out the low performers, people who scored 70% or below, but we aren't really able to have a large enough N yet to be able to say something of that group. We have a number of people who come into the workshop that have a fairly positive attitudes about their HIV status, but we have found that in the intensive that there is a significant effect in terms of their attitude between the pre and the post test. In terms of knowledge, 83% of these people have fairly strong knowledge of HIV, so once again we're having a pool of people in this workshop who are fairly knowledgeable. So that's important to remember. And in terms of what's significant here is that we did see a change in knowledge in the intensive between the pretest and the post-test, and that's one of our significant findings. And once again, the low performers, that N is too small to really be able to say that that's a significant result at this time. In terms of behaviors, I can't really say too much other than we're measuring them and we'll keep you posted. So once again, the N's too small. So limitations, sample size, extraneous variables, causality can't be inferred. Reliability and validity of the survey have not been established, so we're going to revise and update the survey tool. Collect and analyze 3-month follow-up data to evaluate program outcomes over time. And analyze the reliability and validity of the survey. Also, it's important to remember, like what I was saying, we have a lot of people who have high knowledge, fairly good attitudes, not a lot of risk behavior. So really, we want to think about our recruitment strategy and how are we engaging people. So we're going to begin to think about how do we better partner with community-based organizations, bring the workshop to those community-based organizations so that they can run the workshop for their clients. And really think about what sort of referrals are the people that would most benefit from these workshops, the people who are more likely to be out of care, newly diagnosed. And really also utilize our peers a lot more because they have that relationship that I think is very effective at recruiting people with HIV. And then, as I said earlier, we'll be translating the workshop into Spanish and refining our evaluation tools. Some final thoughts. Good. References. This is the workshop team. Very proud of them. They've done a wonderful job. And thank you to the Research and Evaluation Unit, Mary Irvine, who's over here, Chris Williams, Matthew Feldman, and the Shanti Life staff. Thank you.